And we broadcast live every Thursday night from Kentucky at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central. And we love to have people tune in and hear from them via email. It's always good to know that people are out there listening and that they find the resource of the Internet useful. All right, if you would this morning, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to talk to you about some things in relation to that which we know. You know the old saying, it's not what you know, but who you know that's important. Does not really apply when it comes to spiritual matters. What we know is of utmost importance. And it's extremely important that we know what the Bible says about all issues of life, but specifically in relation to salvation in this present dispensation and how we're to walk in this present dispensation, the age of grace in which we live. I read an article just last week about a man who was handling snakes in a church service, and the man was bitten by a snake and he died. So why would a person do that? Well, before we read here, look back in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, I think this would be a good illustration in starting the message this morning. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus Christ is giving the disciples some instructions. And by the way, these instructions will apply during the tribulation period that is yet to come, when God fills up the body of Christ. I believe we'll be caught away from here, and God will resume His program with the nation Israel. This commission is given to them in Mark 16, verse 15. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Matthew 24, He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." Paul said he preached the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, it's interesting that the man who took up the snake was doing that on the basis of this passage of Scripture. And yet, when he was bitten by that snake, those people there should have had the ability to lay hands on that man and he would have recovered. You see, there's some things you need to know about the Word of God and how to handle the Word of God, and not to know those things is dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous to try to operate today your Christian life on the basis of ignorance. You need to know some things. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." You can kind of sum God's will up in a general sense on that verse, that is God's will that all men be saved, and that all men that are saved come unto the knowledge of the truth. So simply being saved is a wonderful thing. But all you need to know to be saved is that Jesus Christ hung on a cross, died for your sins, paid for every one of them, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you believe in that substitutionary sacrifice and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're saved. But that's not enough information to operate your life on a daily basis. That's the foundational truth. Salvation by grace, through faith, apart from the law. Last Sunday we talked about the curse of the law. Paul said that Jesus Christ became a curse for us, because cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That law, with that law, it brought blessings and it brought curses. We need to know today about where we are in this present dispensation and how God is operating today in 2014. Now, knowledge has always been of utmost importance as far as God's work being done. And I want to demonstrate that. Go back to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." God supernaturally gave this individual His spirit in wisdom, understanding, and in knowledge. Go over to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. Notice there in verse 31. "And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." Notice there in verse 35, "Then hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver." The point is, folks, without reading all these verses, is that God Almighty had a work that needed to be done. And because of that, he supernaturally imparted unto them that which they needed to know in making these vessels and so forth that were related to the worship of God under the law during the day of Moses. And I find something interesting there. If you look back in chapter 31, Exodus chapter 31 in verse 5, I believe it is. Yeah. Notice he says, he's instructed him in cutting of stones to set them and engraving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. In other words, God had a work for them to do, and he told them how to do it. Now that's interesting. Think about that word workmanship and look over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." The Bible talks about us as being a new creature in Christ. This Bible says that we are the workmanship of God. But God has a work for us to do. So what did God do? God gave his workmanship instructions about doing the work of the ministry. What did he say? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a what? Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A workman. What does a workman need? A workman needs some instructions. He needs to know how to perform the work that he's been called to do. That's why we have the Word of God left for us today. We don't have to speculate and wonder about what God's desire and God's will is today. While Paul told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering and doctrine." We have a ministry, folks, and that ministry was given to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in relation to his ministry in Acts chapter 20 that ministry started with testifying the gospel of the grace of God. People seldom give a thought to why, when Jesus Christ already had 12 disciples, that in Acts chapter 9, God saves this other man, Paul. And when we begin to read in our Bible, the next 13 books in our Bible are the epistles of Paul. And Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ Jesus." Paul said that I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. He said that to him was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Well, then if he's our apostle and to him was given the dispensation of the grace of God, there may be some information that he has for us that would help us to function if we know what that information is. Now, I want you to look back to the book of Proverbs. And I just want to demonstrate here how that God put so much emphasis upon knowledge. Because, you know, there's a lot of people today, they kind of have the idea that knowledge is a bad thing. That if you try to get educated and learn stuff, well, I'm all for higher education. I wish I'd have gotten more. I spent 4 years in a 2-year college, graduated with honors, and I was more interested in Mary than I was studying, I'll tell you that. And all I could think about was getting married. So I quit and went to work, and we got married. And I don't regret it a bit. I wish I'd have gotten more education along the way, though. As a matter of fact, to tell you what a scoundrel I was, I was still in school when we got married. And Mary had a full-time job. She was basically supporting us. And we would get up in the morning, and I'd get all my books and put them in the car. And as soon as she left for work, I'd head for the golf course. And I played golf instead of going to school. You don't make good grades that way. By the grace of God, I finally got saved and learned some things. But the fact is, folks, is that I believe it's important. I believe a person ought to get all the education they can, and they ought to use it for Christ's sake to the best of their ability and live for the Lord. I'm not against knowledge. I'm not against people that being educated, that kind of thing. You can't educate yourself to salvation. That's a trust issue. Like I said a moment ago, you don't have to know a lot to get saved. You just have to know the gospel and trust that. But there are some things we need to know, and God puts great emphasis upon knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 22, he says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness." You see, it's one thing to have knowledge. It's another thing to use that knowledge in a means that is right and good. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. In other words, not wrong. They use knowledge to their benefit. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3, in relation to the nation Israel, God Almighty said through Jeremiah 3, verse 14, he said, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastures according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Well, that's what today a pastor is to do in the dispensation of the grace of God. He's to feed the people with knowledge and understanding. And I know that sometimes people, they're a little taken back sometimes when they first start attending here because of the amount of scripture we use. I know when I grew up, the preacher read one verse and departed therefrom, and he never opened the Bible again. But folks, this is a Bible church. And we come here to study the Bible. And my opinion is a very little, but means very little. And I want people to always take what is said here and compare it to the Scripture. I want you to be able to prove it by the Word of God. If you can't, don't believe it. But if you can, then use it and acknowledge that it is right and it's good. You see, if you look over in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians 4, why is knowledge important? Well, we see right here in Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now notice the next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here's another reason. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we see that the importance of knowledge is that we are edified, we are built up, we are instructed, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And listen, if you're not instructed and established in the Word of God, you are going to be subject to false doctrine and false teaching. If that man had realized that Mark chapter 16 had nothing to do with the ministry of the church, the body of Christ, in the dispensation of the grace of God, he wouldn't have been handling snakes. Was it in the Bible? Yes, it was. But that's why we are told to rightly divide the word of truth. There is a body of truth that relates to the nation Israel. In Matthew 10, when Jesus Christ sent out the disciples, he said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But there is a body of truth that relates specifically to the church, the body of Christ. And through that truth, we are edified and built up and strengthened. And it's not that I am an authority. I'm not. The Word of God is the authority. And it's by the Word of God and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that we can be established so that we can have a ministry of not only understanding these things, but to teach others also. Paul said to Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou also to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. And so that's what God's will is that we learn, we go about, we teach those that we have contact with. Many will accept it. Many will reject it. Some will accept it. And we don't know who's going to and who's not. And so we take every opportunity to try to establish people in the truth. Why? Because there's things we need to know. We need some knowledge that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So it's important that we know and understand some things about what God is doing today, how God is operating, and so forth. Now, I want you to notice, as I mentioned a moment ago about this man with a snake, the Scripture is clear that it is a dangerous thing to operate on the basis of ignorance when it comes to spiritual things. Look back in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, you see, sometimes when you talk to people about dispensational truth, they think, well, you just believe in throwing out most of the Bible. No, if you notice, we've been reading from the Old Testament this morning. There are principles that apply throughout all ages. God has always operated on the basis of instructions to mankind for the time in which they're living. It's just that those instructions aren't always the same. In Isaiah chapter 5, in verse 13, he says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity." Now notice the reason. "Because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." They had gone into idolatry. They had turned from God. And he said they've gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. The knowledge of God Almighty as being their God, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Over in the book of Hosea, we find another illustration over there in Hosea. I'll get there in a minute. Hosea chapter 4. Hosea 4. Notice the prophecy here in verse 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are they that strive with the priest. Therefore thou shalt fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother." Now notice, "My people are destroyed because are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the laws of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Now, to make an application, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." I believe the church in general today, not all of them, but a large majority of what we would consider the church today, have a real problem because of the lack of knowledge. The emphasis on studying the Word has been taken away, and the emphasis has been for many years upon social programs and music and building buildings and all of those things. And many of those things there's nothing wrong with, but when that becomes the emphasis rather than teaching people the Word of God, then people become weak in the faith and they don't have the knowledge that they need to do to operate on, and so they're not edified and built up like we read about a moment ago. So there's a purpose then for knowing the Word of God. Go back to Ephesians 4 again. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, we saw that the purpose of the pastor, the teacher, is for edification. Verse 12, "The preaching of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying," that is the building up of the body of Christ, "till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro." You see, the purpose of knowledge, folks, is that without the knowledge of God's Word and how He's operating today, it's very easy to be deceived. Why do you think that people send millions of dollars to these preachers expecting something in return and don't get anything? Those people are deceived. They've been deceived into believing a doctrine that says, if you give, then I'll restore it 100-fold or 10-fold or whatever it is. And thus the prosperity gospel has become very popular, and people are deceived. Well, there are people today that will take their money and take food off their table to send it to a preacher that's flying around the country in a jet. I'd say those people need some knowledge. They need some understanding. They need some wisdom. It's sad to me. I mean, I get so mad when I'm flipping the channels and I see these guys on there, and I was reading the other day, this fella, and I hate to use names, but I will in this particular instance, his last name is Dollar. Cephalo Dollar or something. Thank you. Whoever he is, they did a special on him. And he and his family are sitting at this table, mahogany table, 15 foot long. And he's got these fellows out there in their tuxedos and their little bow ties waiting on his family. His house is worth over $20 million. He's got two airplanes that flies all over the country, takes multiple vacations every year. And you know where that money's coming from? Ignorant people. And I don't apologize when I say that. Anybody that would send money to a shyster like that is ignorant. I don't care how educated they are. They may be doing, and when I say ignorant, I'm not talking about stupid. You can't deal with stupid. I mean, you can help ignorance, but you can't deal with stupid. But I'm not, when I say they're ignorant of the fact that when they give that money, you know why they're giving that money? They're expecting something in return. They believe they're doing it for God, and somehow God's going to bless them. When Oral Roberts saw that 50-foot Jesus years ago, and that Jesus said, appeared to Oral and said, listen, if you don't raise, what was it, $11 million or some number, then you're going to die. I'd say let him die. I mean, man says he's going to heaven. Well, you know who paid it? A man that owned a racetrack, a gambler. And you know why he was interviewed and asked why he gave all that money to Oral Roberts? He said, because it'll always come back to you. Come on, folks. People don't operate on the basis of the knowledge of the Word of God. Paul said God loves a cheerful giver. But there Paul is, and he said that I refused to preach to you and charge you for what I was doing, lest I should be a stumbling block. A man that loves the Word of God, he ought to stand and preach and proclaim the Word of God regardless of how much they pay him or if they pay him at all. Now, they should pay him. It's scriptural. But that's not his concern. That, in other words, you can't do it for the money. The whole point is, folks, it is dangerous to operate on the basis of ignorance. And people do it all the time. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. I'll tell you, before we leave Ephesians, let me note one other thing. He says there in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up to him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Do you see that phrase, grow up? People need to grow up. They need to become mature adults. They need to grow up and understand who they are in Christ and understand the doctrine for us today is the doctrine given through our apostle for the age of grace and operate on the basis of that. I mean, Jesus Christ, remember when he was teaching the disciples, he said, take no thought for your life what you're going to eat, drink, or put on. You're going to try to operate on the basis of that today? You know what's going to happen if you do? You're going to be hungry. Why? Because your apostle said, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. There's a great difference in those two verses of Scripture. And multiple other verses. Jesus required that they go out and sell what they had. Paul said that you ought to lay up for your children. And he said the children ought to take that which was laid up for them and requite the parents. There's even a method in the Bible for how God would have you operate your finances in this present dispensation that is altogether different from time past. How many people know that? You know that because that's what the Bible says. And you compare Scripture with Scripture. People need to grow up. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, notice there in verse 12, for the time you ought to be teachers, You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. In other words, the milk would be the basic rudiments of the teachings. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Now notice, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Paul said to the Corinthians, I have not fed you with meat, but with milk. Go back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. You see, what that meat does, that strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those who by reason of use of the meat, have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Well, the meat there would represent doctrine. How do I know that? Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1. He says, and I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Well then, those problems could be eradicated by the teaching of the Word of God, the strong meat. Not only that, look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Why do we need the knowledge of the truth? To keep from being deceived? That we might grow up and operate as full-grown adults in the body of Christ? And that we do not allow someone to rob us of our reward in heaven. Notice in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 1, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now notice, and this I say, in other words, Paul tells us what he said, and then he says, this is the reason I'm saying it. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That is, deceive you, trick you. Now notice, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and behold in your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now here's the warning. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look down in verse 18. That word's used again. Let no man beguile you of your reward and a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That's the reason that Paul said that they need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Look back in chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, a person that understands grace will never allow someone or some group to place them under the bondage of the law. That's what we talked about last week, the curse of the law. Well, why is it that people are susceptible to those that try to place them under the law? Because they don't understand grace. They don't understand the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul, when he wrote to the church at Galatia, said, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Those Galatians had come out of the bondage. They had heard the message of grace that Paul preached, and yet there were those that came behind him and said, "Unless you be circumcised, you cannot be saved." Well, how familiar does that sound? People today trust the Lord. Now you need to do this and this and this and this. You need to join the church. You need to give your money. You need to be baptized. You need, on and on the list goes. Well, we just read a verse that said, you're complete in Christ. You know what complete is, folks? You don't need anything else, spiritually speaking. The work was done. We talked this morning in Sunday school about eternal security. That doctrine is not based upon one or two verses. It's based upon the fact that we have redemption, justification, sanctification. We've been washed by His blood. We are members of the body of Christ, saints of the Most High God, sealed in the day of redemption. And what we do in our flesh doesn't affect our standing before God. But as I said this morning, our standing before God ought to affect what we do in the flesh. So much confusion today in religion. You know why? Paul told us right there in Colossians chapter 2. Because many are wrapped up in philosophy. There are others who put their emphasis upon that which is deceit. Much of what's taught in religion today is after the traditions of men. And much is taught according to the rudiments of the world. That is the very elementary things, the rudiments of the world. God desires that we have understanding and knowledge so that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that we might be saved from the falling away, the apostasy, and that we might be able to help others understand what God is doing today in this present dispensation so that they can function on the basis of who we are in Christ today. You see, if you're trying to function as a member of the nation Israel under their instructions, you're just going to fail. You can't do it. You can't do it. You've got to function on the basis of who you are. And as I said a moment ago, there are so many conflicting instructions where Jesus Christ was teaching the 12 about carrying out a message to the nation Israel and giving them the opportunity to receive the king, but they rejected the king. And when they did, and were given another opportunity there in the early part of Acts, God saved the apostle Paul and sent him with the revelation of the mystery, information today for us how we need to operate. And folks, we need that knowledge. We need that understanding. And we get it one way. By the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. We are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus and do good work. But you know what? Nobody can do that work apart from the instruction and the understanding they need. You know, if you're going to go to a brain surgeon, you want somebody that has studied brain surgery. You don't want to go to a mechanic to get brain surgery. You know, when you are seeking medical help, you want somebody that what? Knows what they're doing. You want them to have some knowledge. I remember years ago I was having some problems with my heart. Well, it wasn't heart, it was an artery that was blocked, and so I had going for a follow-up visit, and I went to get an ultrasound. And I was going to this group down at Memorial there, the cardiology group down there, whoever it is. And so the doctor I had been seeing was gone, and so this fellow came in. And I was seeing a doctor that was actually older than me, and I kind of liked that. But this fellow come bopping in the room, and he had on tennis shoes and blue jeans and a t-shirt. And I thought, this must be some guy that's working here. He's coming in to get the trash or something. And he said, "I'm Dr. So-and-so." I almost ran. Come to find out, this guy, he was sharp as could be, had learned all the new technology. I found out that it might be better to have a younger doctor that knew all the new stuff. And there wasn't any problem with him being young once he got me well. But you know what? You want somebody that knows what they're doing. If you're going to operate as a Christian in this dispensation of grace, you need to know what you're doing and why you're doing it and how to do it. And thank God he gave us the instructions. Why, when you take Paul's epistles, you can find out what God desires about your marriage, about how you raise your children, about how you operate in the workplace, about how you function towards your children as they get grown, about how the children ought to function toward their parents as they get older. I mean, all of that is in the Bible. We don't have to operate on the basis of ignorance, folks. And above everything else, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved on the basis of the gospel of the grace of God. Not trusting in that gospel of the kingdom. Not trusting in simply the fact that you believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But you know that you believe that Jesus Christ not only was the Messiah, but he went to a cross and he died. And God put all your sin upon him. And when he put all your sin upon him, he was satisfied with that sacrifice. And he proved he was satisfied when he raised him from the dead 3 days later. And Paul said he was raised again for our justification. You need to know what salvation really is. It's not something you do. It's something you receive as a free gift by the grace of God. That's the most important thing a person needs to know in this life. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Would you stand with me for prayer?